Good morning, everyone. From the book of Nehemiah. Now the leaders of the people settled in Jerusalem. The rest of the people cast lots to bring one out of every 10 of them to live in Jerusalem, the holy city, while the remaining 9 were to stay in their own towns. The people commended all who volunteered to live in Jerusalem. These are the provincial leaders who settled in Jerusalem. Now some Israelites, priests, Levites, temple servants, and descendants of Solomon's servants lived in the towns of Judah, each on their own property in the various towns. From the book of Acts. Then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias. So he was added to the 11 apostles. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
There are many instances in my seminary when students need to decide, for example, whom to present first, whom their partner would be, and so on and so forth. And actually, I prefer that they talk among themselves and come to some kind of a consensus. It's easier, it's better actually. It's more mature way to do it. But sometimes you don't have the time to do it, so what do? We cast lots, of course, we draw lots, and to see who will work with who will come first, who will come later. And that's a very fair way to do it. Now think about it, if we transfer that into our lives, wouldn't it make it everything so simple? Whom to marry? Cast lot. Where to go? Cast lot. Which church to go to? Let's cast lot. Plus, it guarantees that it is God's will, and therefore the correct decision. Didn't the Old Testament people do that? Didn't we just read that they did that to cast lots as to whom to go where and even to choose the apostle? So now, this sermon is about that, because I think in a different way, Christians do cast lots. And I want us to remember that. Well, let's talk about what is in the Old Testament first. Well, firstly, it's actually commanded by God. For example, in Leviticus chapter 16, verse 8, on the Day of Atonement, they chose 2 goats. One of the goats will be for the Lord. The other one will be for Azazel. Now, the goat for the Lord is offered as a sin offering. And the other one was the scapegoat. It took the sin of the people into the wilderness. Basically, they let it go. But as far as I know, in the Second Temple period, they won't let it go, actually. They'll bring it to a cliff, and it will fall down a cliff, right? They don't want goats walking all around the place, bearing the sins of the people, so they actually kill it too. But in any case, they cast lot to decide which goat will be for the Lord, and which goat was to be for Azazel. Now, Azazel, we have no idea what it meant. It doesn't matter for now, anyway. I want us to remember one thing, though. It didn't actually say that the casting of lot was to seek God's will. It was just an impartial, easy way to choose between 2 options. It never say that the one for the Lord was God's will, as opposed to the one that was to become the scapegoat. Secondly, in the division of the land, Numbers chapter 26, verse 55, this time they came to the land, they were dividing the promised land among themselves, and they cast lots. So here is another time where it was obvious that they were casting lots. Again, it actually didn't say that they were seeking God's will, although it might be implied that they were seeking God's will. But I want us to remember one more thing from this passage. If you read the whole passage carefully, it says that the larger tribes got the larger inheritance and the smaller tribes got the smaller inheritance. Now, if it was a blind casting lots situation, that would not happen. It would be a miracle. How could the bigger tribe get a bigger place? In the first place, you must have a bigger place to cast the lots for the bigger tribe to get the bigger place. Think about it, right? The other thing was, why didn't all the clans of a certain tribes just got scattered all over the place? Why must it be in a place? If you take a look at any Bible maps, just take out a Bible maps, take a look at it, you'll find that everybody stays together. Right? The tribe of Judah stayed together in the southern region. Ephraim in the central region. Manasseh kind of north of them and also to the east of the Jordan River. Everybody got stayed together nicely. So this was not a random choice here. There was some kind of a sifting before they casted lots. So this, like the scapegoat casting of lots, were not blind, you know, choice, because they came down to two goats and then they cast lots between the two goats. Here, similarly, they have different places. They knew that there were big places for big tribes, smaller places for small tribes. So it was not a blind choice. Thirdly, Joshua chapter 7 verse 14. Now, Joshua chapter 7 verse 14 was about the sin of Achan. What happened was they went into Canaan, they fought at Jericho, and they won. And there was a ban. Nobody was to take anything from Jericho. But Achan took some things from, he stole actually, basically. He stole something from Jericho, and he put it in his tent. And the next time they went against Ai, which was a rather small village, small village, they lost. And then they came before God and they were crying, and then Joshua uncharacteristically almost blamed God for their loss. If you look at it, you find that the Joshua of that time and the Joshua that came to Canaan like 40 years ago was a different Joshua. He was afraid. He was very afraid. He said, God, did you bring us here to be destroyed by these people? And God told him, look, why are you crying? You lost because you sinned. So now, find out the sinner and deal with it. And how did they find the sinner? They cast the lots. And finally, they found Achan. Of course, they dealt with the problem. Now, I want us to learn something from this too. There is something different here as well. We think that they casted lots because they didn't, you know, God was not speaking. But in fact, they found out there was a problem exactly because God was speaking. God spoke. In fact, I wonder, you know, why did they even need to cast lots? All they have to do was, yes, God, and who is that person? That person. That's it. There was no need to go through everything to cast lots, but they did. God was not about to tell them who the person was, so they have to go through the long ways. The long way was to cast lots tribe by tribe, clan by clan, until they came to one family, and that was Achan. So here I want to tell us this. If you think that casting lots was only done when they didn't have God's word, that's not true. It was an alternate way of finding God's will. But that was not the only alternate ways either. What are other ways? Visions, prophets, even angels. When he first went into Canaan, they met an angel. Or we should say Joshua met an angel. And the angel led them against Jericho. Basically, the plan against Jericho was told by the angel. It must happen. So, casting lots was not the only way to find out God's way, although it was one way that they used. And in this case, they used both ways. God was speaking to them, maybe through a prophet or something, and they were casting lots. Both were happening. However, casting lots and consulting a prophet were two ways they could consult God for their own question. That is, if you have a question to ask God, you're not going to get, you know, if a vision happens, the vision will tell you whatever the vision will tell you. If God sent an angel, the angel will say whatever the angel wanted to say, right? It's not an answer to their question. But if you have a question to bring to the Lord, casting lot was one way. The other way was consulting a prophet. Like when Saul was looking for the donkeys, his father's donkey, he went through near Ramah, and the servant say, look, there's a prophet here, why don't we ask him? So that was one way of finding God's answer to your own question. Next, Jonah chapter 1 verse 7. Now, we all know the story of Jonah. What happened was Jonah, God called Jonah to Nineveh. Jonah said no, or maybe he didn't say anything, he went the other way. A lot of people think that he went west. Right? Nineveh, Assyria was east. He went west. And God swallowed him up in a fish. Now, chapter 1 verse 7 was when he was on the boat. And there was a storm. And everybody was about to die. Right? And what did they do? They casted lots to find out who the sinner was that caused the storm. So what did we learn from casting lots? Of course, they found Jonah, by the way. Now, what did we learn? What do we learn about casting lots from here? Firstly, it was not particularly Jewish. In fact, these people were not trying to find the will of the Lord. They were just trying to find the will of the gods. Any god. My god, your god, any gods. All the people over there, they worship all different kinds of gods. They were casting lots to find out the will of their gods. But ironically, they learned about the Lord through Jonah. Jonah was not much of a prophet, but he, even when he was not preaching, he was telling people about the Lord, you know. And they all worshiped the Lord at the end of it because they found out that God was really the God of the sea and the weather. The moment they threw Jonah in, everything was quiet out. So ironically, he brought everybody to Christ, or maybe I should say to the Lord, right? So this is one danger about casting lots today, even if you were doing it. Because when you're casting lots, just like in the Old Testament, you may not be finding the will of the Lord. It could be the will of some other spiritual beings. Alright? Another category is to settle dispute. In Proverbs chapter 16 verse 33, and I know most people are not very familiar with Proverbs chapter 16 verse 33. So let me read that passage to you. It says here, 16:33. People cast lots to learn God's will, but God himself determines the answer. This verse actually tells us two things. Firstly, people do cast lots to determine God's will. Right? People in those days, they were casting lots to determine God's will. But according to the sage, the actual answer is not from the Lord, it's from God. See, he put the emphasis differently. You're not finding the will of the Lord. It's not a blind choice thing. The real decision actually comes from the Lord, not the Lord. And that was what he was trying to do. But in any case, it tells us that people were casting lots. There's another verse in chapter 18, verse 18. Also Proverbs. Chapter 18, verse 18. Let me read it to you. If two powerful men are opposing each other in court, casting lots can settle the issue. There are some problems with the Hebrew, but this is actually about as good as it could be. It's probably right, actually. That is, if you have two opposing parties, they're disputing something. One way of dealing with the issue is just to cast lots, right? Maybe we should, maybe China and the U.S. can do that and it will solve the problem. I don't know. So here it says that casting lots was one way to solve a dispute. Why? Because it was an impartial way of dealing with a problem. Right? You say, I say, he say, everybody says, let's cast lots. And that was one way to settle a dispute. Now, this way of using the lot is a little bit like the drawing lots that we do today. You remember the story about my students drawing lots? That's a dispute too. Everybody wants to have a claim to being first or last or middle or whatever. So let's cast lots and everybody will accept what the lots say. So here it is in the Old Testament. Now, then we make the transition to the New Testament. Did the new Christian church cast lots? They actually did. And it is found in the verse that was read just now, Acts chapter 1, verse 26. In this verse, Judas Iscariot committed suicide. So there were 12 apostles, now there are only 11. And of course, they couldn't let the number stand at 11. They have to choose somebody, right? How did they go about choosing that somebody? They went about choosing that somebody through lots, of course. They came down, narrowed down everybody to two persons, Joseph and Matthias. And they cast lot between Joseph and Matthias. Now, this is a very clear case where they were seeking God's will in the New Testament. Remember just now I say sometimes you are not sure that they are seeking God's will or whether they were just trying to have an impartial way of settling something, right, or making a decision. But here they were obviously seeking God's will. They were employing casting lots because it was what people have been doing all the time. Jews did that, so they were doing it. And by the way, it is the only time in the New Testament where they did it. There was no other time. It was before the coming of the Holy Spirit, because after the coming of the Holy Spirit, they didn't do that anymore. Here I have to say two things too. Firstly, just like in the case of the scapegoat and the division of land, it was not a blind choice. It was not like, by the way, the text say that there were like 120 people there. But they choose between two persons. It was not casting lots among 120 just to choose anybody. No, they whittle down the candidates to two persons and then they decide by lots. So it's not a blind choice either. So this is a little bit like in the time of the scapegoat and the division of the land. It was not a blind choice. It was down to two candidates. So why did they use lots? It's difficult to say, but apart from the fact that they have been doing it, you have to remember it says that there were 120 persons in that place. You know, 120 is an even number. You can actually have 60-60 persons voting for both sides. And in the end, you can't make a decision, right? If they were here, then maybe it's a two-third majority, then that's even worse, right? So that may be a reason why they were casting lots. One reason why they might have been casting lots. And most importantly, this was the last time they ever did it in the New Testament. Normally, what happened was that they followed the guidance of the Holy Spirit. This was the case with Jesus, of course. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Jesus followed the leading of the Holy Spirit. He went to the wilderness. Jesus, of course, is a prime example of seeking God's will. And there's no record of him casting lots at all. He followed the guidance of the Holy Spirit all his life. And this is the first time he followed the Spirit, so he went into the wilderness. Now, I know if I say that, people will say, well, Jesus is Jesus. You know, I'm not Jesus. Jesus knew the will of God from day one until the day he went to the cross. But I'm not sure. I know, alright. So, although he is the best example, he may be the worst example. Because it's something that we feel that we cannot measure up to, so it doesn't matter. You can say Jesus all the time, but I'm not Jesus. Right, alright, let's put him aside. And I mean, don't use him as an example. We can't put him aside, okay? Early church. Now, you can relate to that, the early church. Chapter 13, verse 2 to 4. Now, what happens here? What happened here was people were gathering together. They were praying. They were worshiping God. And they were thinking about sending missionaries out. And what did he say? It says that the Holy Spirit set aside Barnabas and Paul. Paul and Barnabas. The Holy Spirit set aside Paul and Barnabas. This is very important for us. You know why? Because this is a case exactly where you think casting lots will ensure that you have the right person, isn't it? You know, we must have the right person to be the missionary. And who should it be? So cast lots to make sure. No, they didn't. They got together. They worshiped. They prayed. And eventually God set aside Barnabas and Paul to be the missionary, the first missionaries sent out. Now, this is there's a difference between this and the choice of Matthias. Why? Because this time they were not thinking about choosing between candidates. They were just praying, and then God set aside. So this is slightly different from what happened before. All right, one more. Acts chapter 15, verse 6. I talked a little bit about it last week. This was a very, very important decision they have to make. Because at some point, right, Paul, Barnabas, especially Paul, he went out, he was preaching, a lot of Gentiles like us were coming to Christ, they were getting baptized, in fact, they were getting baptized in the Holy Spirit also. And these people back in Jerusalem or among the Jews, they say, you know, these Gentiles, they're not circumcised, they're waiting for the Messiah, but they're really not Jewish. Can they actually be, can they be Christian without becoming a Jew? And that was a very important question to them. Now, this is exactly the type of question, you know, yes or no question, where casting lots would be great, isn't it? Furthermore, you ensure that this is the will of God. Yes, they must become Jew. No, they don't have to become Jew. Cast lots, you solve the problem. Not so, that's not what they did. What did they do? They gathered everybody together for the first council, the first monthly meeting of the church. No, this is yearly meeting, or maybe this is just a special meeting of the church where all the leaders of that time gathered together. And what did they do? They didn't cast lots. They gathered together, they pray, they talk. Barnabas talk, Paul talk, Peter talk, everybody talk. Finally, they make a decision. They voted. And then they arrive at a decision. More importantly, by the time you get to chapter 15, verse 28, it says that they believe it was done under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. That is, this is divinely sanctioned. You know, all this discussion, this decision made by humans, they are actually divinely led by God. That's how they saw it. Why? Because they have the Holy Spirit. So there's a change between then and now. I know. I've talked almost a whole morning now. I haven't even mentioned how did they cast lot, by the way. Do you know that? You know why I didn't say it? Because nobody actually knew. Nobody knows. Most people think that they have two stones or, you know, wooden blocks or something. They throw it on the ground and it will show something. But we don't really know. And the reason we think that this was how it was because we find that from ancient Near East, that's how they did it. And since in Jonah, they say they casted lots, so maybe it was the same thing, right? That's the only thing we know. But they did have the Urim and the Thummim. And we think that the Urim and the Thummim were the same thing. Similar to what they did in those, you know, in other places. Now let me end with a quote. Elizabeth Gilbert, she says, "The problem, simply put, is that we cannot choose everything simultaneously. So we live in danger of becoming paralyzed by indecision, terrified that every choice might be the wrong choice." And that's why people want to cast lots. We're terrified that it's the wrong choice. So we prefer to leave it to chance. Now, this is not an uncommon problem. For a minor decision, it doesn't matter, right? Cast lots to decide what you want to eat this afternoon, after church. You know, here or there. It doesn't matter. But when the decision is important, like whom to marry, you know, your career choice, then we are a little bit more concerned, isn't it? It would be great if you have the Urim and the Thummim and we cast lots and that's it. We decide and it's guaranteed to be God's will. But we don't have it now. Even if you want to, you don't have the Urim and the Thummim. So how are you going to do it? So how do we do it? Well, unfortunately, I say that last week. And if you're not here, then that's it. How to make a decision? Well, there are ways to make a decision. Think about our options. Discuss them with people we trust. Trust in the leading of the Holy Spirit. And that's the best that we can do. We may make bad decisions, you know. But it's better to make a bad decision and to learn from it rather than not to make it or to push the responsibility to God because we are not willing to take up the responsibility of saying that we make the decision. All right? Sorry, folks, no casting lots. What we need to do is the way of wisdom, to think. To decide and to be responsible for what we decide. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you that you have given us the freedom to choose many, many things in life. Help us to make good decisions as opposed to bad decisions. And give us the strength to make the right decision as opposed to evil decisions, to stay away from what is evil, to cling to what is good in our decisions. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.